Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Throwback Podcast. This is your host, Ryan the Podman. I'm running this episode solo as my co-host, Shimmy, is still not here as he is recovering from injuries from when he decided to put a squirrel down his pants for some unknown reason, and it bit him in the, I'm not gonna, you can use your imagination there. He did leave me this letter to read to all you listeners. And I'll probably read it before the end of the show to see what he has to say. But anyways, folks, we have a great show lined up for you today. Our good friend, Elisa Reyes, will be stopping by to talk to us today as we catch up with her, as we talk about her time on the new reboot and remake of the TV show All That, and how her experience was on there, as well as a movie that she has done called Break Even, as well as a few other things she's been up to lately. Anyways, folks, as you know by now, if you like what you hear today, you know the drill. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio for more exclusive interviews with some of your favorite 90s stars. As well, be sure to drop us a line and follow us on Twitter at ThrowPodcast or on Instagram at Throwback_podcast. Now here's our exclusive interview with Nickelodeon star Elisa Reyes.
You are listening to the Throwback Podcast. Your stop for everything 90s. This is a throwback exclusive.
Joining us at this time is returning guest Elisa Reyes. Elisa, how you been doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for having me back on.
Thanks for coming on. So, how have you been doing since considering the times we're in right now?
Well, I feel like I have been as grounded as humanly possible. I feel there's such ascension and awakening transpiring that whether one wants to ignore it or not, it's kind of the inevitable.
Right.
So with that being said, I'm just trying to really project as much love and light.
That's all you can do, right?
Hence, yeah, that's all we really
That's
can
the
do.
yeah. So it's been a while since we last talked. You've done actually a lot since we've last talked. You did the All That did has a reboot out now. You've been on a part of that. How was that? Like how was that experience? Like, how were you approached? Like, tell us the story behind that.
Well, it's been absolutely a full circle moment for me. Well, I've known about the reboot for a while. You know, the 90s back nostalgic aspect of things started to surface back with Nickelodeon for a while now. And it just made sense for All That, now season 11 with an amazing new cast, to come back and for it to literally be the same tribe. So we have Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell that are executive producing the show, along with, I mean, Brian Robbins, who created the show, and he's now the president of Nickelodeon. And then you have original writers, you know, Kevin Coppolo, Heath, and I mean, the list goes on and on. And so to see it being the same family, that for me is what was the kind of like the cherry on top, the aha moment of the situation. And so, yeah, they contacted me and they had ideas of wanting to come back with a 25th special anniversary with Lori Beth Denberg and I for the Island Girl sketch, which was emotionally exciting and sad, but happy at the same time to be able to pass down the torch to the new cast, which I love them all, and they're all their own unique entities and souls, and I just adore them and they're beyond talented. It was just a delight and honor to do that. And even now doing new characters. So it's been a great ride and I'll be in another episode coming up. So when that happens, I always promote it on my social media. So stay posted. But some of the things I've done thus far has just been amazing. Now I get to add it in my memory book, you know, and hopefully just continue riding the wave.
I know. So I felt like you never left when you got back on set. Like, it felt like you never left, right?
I felt like I never left. I feel like when we did the table read, pardon me, that was maybe the most kind of anxious moment because, you know, you're performing the content out loud with all the writers and the producers. And sometimes Brian Robbins is there as well. And then you have the cast. And so you go in there like it's like your first day of school. And then all of a sudden you start and you're like, oh my God, it's like I never left. And it just feels like the perfect alignment. And for me, it's like literally I never left the set. And then working opposite of past co-stars like Josh Server and Kel and Kenan and everybody and Lori Beth, that was a delight. But working with the new kids, it just kind of rebooted me, recharged me, and reminded me why I do what I do. And I saw so much of myself in them and vice versa. And now they've become family. And I can't wait to see what happens with their journeys and their paths.
Kind of like a passing of the torch in a way, you know, the old cast meeting the new cast and coming together to do the new show.
Yeah, literally. It's literally passing the torch and full circle moment, for sure.
So you said for the staff, was most of the same staff a part of the new reboot from the old show as well?
Yeah, so like the writers, Kevin and Heath, and Kevin Kay, who's one of the producers. Yeah, I would say, I mean, all the way down to like literally the hair and makeup. Shout out to Michael. It's so surreal. And some of these people still look the same. And for me, I mean, I'm a lot older now, but I feel like people can still relate. I haven't had like a crazy change in my look. My hair's kind of stayed the same and whatever the same is. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how everyone's transitioning grown. But once again, we're back in a sketch. It's like we never left again, especially when I did Island Girls. That was just so fun and surreal. I was dying to get the script.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, so, dying to see what they were going to write and do.
So how many episodes were you in, have been in so far on the new show?
I think I've done like four so far. Four or five. Yeah, something. Yeah, something okay. Along those lines. I played Mrs. Wigglebaum.
I caught that one.
Yeah, she was a teacher. And you know, I had to, like, they had to slime me, of course. Yeah. It was a mess, but totally worth it. And it kind of brought me back when Josh Server and I and Lori Beth Denberg got tied to the Geyser at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, where we shot the pilot in the first season of all that. And they tied us to a geyser because it was like a commercial segment we did in between SNCC commercials. Like, do you remember, like, there'd be the orange couch and some people from another show would be on it hosting SNCC. So we were hosting SNCC, but Lori Beth and Josh and I were tied to a geyser. And every 15 minutes, the geyser would go off. And I remember poor Josh was sick. I was in a rush to like go hang out with friends. I was like, how long are we going to be? You know, I'm teasing. I wasn't like that. But I was a typical teenager, just like totally like, what's going on? And then out of nowhere, the geyser goes off. And it's a mess to the point where all the green dye, it wouldn't come out of anything. And at the time, the slime used to be made out of what? Green dye and applesauce or something. Now it's different, a different texture. So now when I got slime this go around, I experienced a whole other texture. And I don't know, I can't compare which one I like better. They're both their own entities for sure. But it's awesome. And I would do it all over again.
For the slime, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely, it feels more like gacky, like silly. I don't know how to describe it. Like the new version of slime that kids are playing with.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's different because think about it. The other one was applesauce. So the texture was a lot more, I guess, mushy.
Mushy. Did it not so mushy this time?
Yeah. I prefer this texture for sure.
Do you? So wait. For the reboot, was it on the same soundstage as the old show or was it somewhere else? Where was it filmed?
So the pilot in the first season was shot in Orlando, Universal Studios. And then we ended up, I think also we shot the second season there. And then the third season, I went from Orlando to Los Angeles to shoot at Paramount Studios. We shot in the old Dr. Phil soundstage. And that was an awesome experience because Paramount Studios is just historic. They've shot some amazing things there. Movie stores galore have been there. And just basically, it's a place that's very prestigious as an actor to work at. So for me, that was exciting as a kid. I was running around and probably not even really realizing the worth of the scenario being on that soundstage, but my experience there was awesome. And that's where I met like Tia and Tamara. That's where I met my really good friend, Leah Remedy. Like I have really good memories of working at Paramount Studios. And then after that, I know when I parted ways to then go move on to a show called One World on NBC, the show then moved on to Sunset Gower. Sunset Nickelodeon or something, I guess it was called.
Yeah.
But I shot the 100th episode there. So that was my experience working in that soundstage. And then when I shot season 11 this past 2019, that's located in the Valley in Burbank Studios, like in the Jay Leno soundstages kind of. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
In California. So if you don't know, now you know.
Yeah, that's some good information to know. I was going to say, let's go back to, yeah, Kiki the Island Girl. You and Lori Beth redid the Island Girl get, and you guys finally got off the island.
Yeah. But are we really off the island? You'll never know. It was awesome to see Nathan and Shingoon be the ones that were going to be a part of the torch passing moment. And it just made sense. Nathan is so funny, kind of being the energy of Lori Beth, and Shingoon is totally me. And it just makes sense. And I remember, like, Shingoon and I and the director, we all worked really hard on, like, trying to figure out Shingoon's own way of doing forever and ever, whether he dabbed or did the floss, or I don't know all these dance moves, but because I know Roger Rabbit and Butterfly. And not that I'm aging myself, because I'm immortal. No. I'm teasing.
Well, not me anyway.
But it was great because he added his own flair. I mean, we are in 2020. When I started Island Girls, I was in the mid-90s. So, but at the end of the day, they did Lori Beth and I very proud. We were proud mamas, proud aunties. And yeah, to see what we were going to do, especially, it was really funny. I mean, rehearsing with Lori Beth and going live, like, it was so funny because when I found out that our sketch was going to be, of course, live in front of the audience, it was like the main, it was in the middle of the soundstage. I felt like I was having a Broadway moment, and I was so emotional. And I was like, this is intense. They put our sketch in the middle of the soundstage and we're going live. And all of a sudden it's like lights on. And I'm like, it's like I never left. I'm like, Fran, oh, Fran. And she's already wanted to kill me. But we actually, like, hugged and cried a little and had some really nice moments. And what's great about all that in sketch comedy, it's like a soap. The doors are open, so you never know what can happen. Characters can leave for a little, come back a little. Maybe there's a twist with things a little. You know, it's like Pandora's box. So you just have to stay posted and see.
Yeah, it is. Did they start filming any new episodes for the next season before the virus hit? Do you know if they started filming?
Yeah, some things with, yeah. And then things just happened to be timing on hiatus, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, right now,
yeah,
whatever the new norm is, I'm not sure specifically. I know a lot of things change with airing dates and things that were supposed to be released. But I know that All That and Nickelodeon and the cast members of All That, they're really great. Mm-hmm. As is Lori Beth and I and Keenan and Cal and Josh, we always will update fans about when we're on. And now we even have other cast members that came on from later seasons, like Mark and Lisa Foyles, you know, so it's great to see all of us kind of from different seasons come and give a little bit of love. And I think that's what the fans want, is kind of merging the old with the new.
Yeah. You see a lot of shows doing that now, too. Like, Fuller House is doing the same thing, mixing the older and newer cast together.
Right.
Like a passing of the torch. It's good to see, because it keeps the show going.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's like that old saying, if it ain't broke, why fix it? So sometimes you got to stick with things, but you always got to give a little to get a little, too. So it's like it's that perfect recipe when, I guess what, baking a pie.
Now you're making me hungry.
Sorry.
I need dinner here. That's another story. Anyways,
well, watch Cooking with Elisa. I give a lot of episode ideas on how to cook and what to eat.
I need to check those out. I haven't checked those out yet.
I started posting some videos on YouTube and Instagram. It's so fun, and my favorite part of it is my theme song for my show. I mean, I'm Italian, Irish, Dominican from New York that lives in California, so you can only imagine my palate.
Oh, wow. Yeah, New Yorkers know how to cook, man.
We try.
We try. That's an understatement. But anyway, let's talk about this movie you did. Was it called Breaking Even?
Breaking Even. Yeah.
I thought, and it looks like a badass movie.
I'm excited for everyone to see it. Like, really excited. It's something like I've never experienced. It was definitely an amazing mirage, a sad one to end. But at the same time, I never worked so hard for a character physically. It's about four friends, you know, that basically we get 50 mil, we're on the run, we're being chased by, you know, feds, DEA, drug dealers, the whole kit and caboodle. My character's name is Rosie. The film was directed by Shane Stanley, written by CJ Wally, and my co-stars, Tasia Tellis from the show 100 and Eric Fellows and Brent Bailey, who was like the Shell man. You know, Shell gas. You go to any Shell gas. I'm shouting Brent out right now. You go to any gas station and he's there. So anytime I go get Shell, I'm like taking selfies. He probably thinks it's annoying, but I mean, well,
maybe not. Who knows?
No, he doesn't. I don't think he minds it. But he has like 1,000 people that have sent him that. I'm not the only one. But no, and so that film was basically shot like on a yacht, on a speedboat, on an island, wow, desert. I did some of my own stunt work. I actually jumped off of an actual sailboat into the ocean because I'm nautical.
Have you done your own stunt work with other stuff?
Yes, but not this way. So like preparing for this role, I knew I was going to be in a bathing suit. I knew I had to climb rocks and run. And I mean, when I did my running scene, I had to wear boots with like wedge platforms. Why? Because you got to look badass when you're running in an action film. And I had shin splints for at least the next 2 days, but it was totally totes my goats worth it. But just training for this character, I did like a 30 class hot yoga challenge because hot yoga is a practice that I really swear by. And I did tons of hiking and some weight training. But most of all, I did this hot yoga like as much as I could up until when I did my movie to get lean and tight. And it made all the difference because if I wouldn't have trained, I don't know what would have happened.
How long is the movie? Like,
I shot it for at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not too bad. You said it was on a yacht and like on a beach somewhere?
So I filmed on a yacht. I filmed on a sailboat. I filmed in a speedboat. I filmed in the ocean. I actually was in these boats. I jumped off of a sailboat. I drove my own like Jeep and I was able to like whip it. And the poor camera guy's like hitting his head. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But this is so fun.
That does sound fun. How were you supposed to be in the movie? Like, did you like audition for it or did someone
Well, I've been doing this for about 30 years of my life. So there's roles that I audition for. There's roles that sometimes get offered to me. There's roles that I have meetings for. There's roles that, you know, sometimes it's all the way the cookie crumbles. And I feel like at the end of the day, what's meant and what's supposed to be in alignment will be. I've had auditions where I'm like, oh my God, I totally got it. Nope. And then there's ones where I'm like, oh my God, I got that part. Why? I'll tell you why. I'm big on the law of attraction. So at the end of the day, what you put out comes back. So if you hone on thoughts that are the worrisome thoughts, right? That's what you're going to attract. So probably for this one, we're always like, I don't got time for worrying. And then that's why abundantly that happens. So I got a little deep right now, but I thought that was important to share. Yeah. So for this part in particular, I worked with Shane Stanley before, the director. This was my fourth project. So I had done a short film with him that had Gary Busey in it called A Sight for Sore Eyes. Then I had done two films called A Trip to the Dark Side and then A Trip to the Dark Side 2. And then he presented the script to me like right before the holidays of like 2018. So I went into 2019 reading the script, telling him I loved it. You know, I put myself on tape. The team saw me. And the next day, you know, I got offered to get the part. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes the audition process can be intimate, you know, where they just maybe have one or two people in mind. Sometimes it's all based off of, so all the way down to availability, you know, hair color, how does she look? You never know. You hope it's your talent. Sometimes it's who you know, but whatever the case may be, with this project in particular, it just was meant to be. There was also a lot of signs for me to play this role on a personal level, spiritually. The character really has some really nice textures and depth. So what I'm excited about, fans, is for them to see me in this light. You know, a lot of people know me from Nickelodeon and Disney and from other shows that I've been on, but this is a little bit of an edgier role. And everything I do, it always is tastefully done. I'm always considerate of my younger fan base, but this is also an opportunity for me to be shown as Elisa Ray as a woman and something that's a little outside the box, but done in a really beautiful way.
Since you've done both for a while, now, do you prefer movies or doing TV shows? Do you have a preference?
I prefer all of it. I prefer all of it. On a personal level, I'm an actor. I'm a thespian. So whether it's voiceover work, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing, whether it's writing, whether it's producing or teaching, because I also teach acting, as long as I'm doing something creatively artistic, my soul is quite content. So in a perfect world, I love being on camera, but I also have a fond love for my vocal instrument, which is voiceover work and singing as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You have any more movies? Are you have any more projects coming out?
So right now I have a documentary that I've been talking about for quite a while now called The Orange Years, which is about 80s and 90s Nickelodeon nostalgia. So all I can say is we are basically going to be coming out soon. We possibly will be announcing where our home would be soon. And we just are so thankful for the outpour that everyone's bestowed upon us with watching just the teaser and the trailer, because you think of anyone and anyone related to Nickelodeon, they're in our documentary. So shout out to Scott Barbier's team. And we just hope the fans, you know, love what we do and stay posted, because that will be out shortly.
That should be fun.
Yeah, it's a fun documentary.
Yeah. Wasn't there a book about it too?
That wasn't associated with our documentary, though. But there was a book at a time about Nickelodeon, yeah. But that's not associated with our documentary.
Oh, okay, yes. Gotcha.
Uh-huh. Just coincidental.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Nickelodeon. You can't, you got to share the love, right?
Yeah, you have. You got to spread it around.
Yeah.
If fans want to get in touch, you do Cameo, and what's the other one?
I do Cameo. I do CelebVM and Starsona. And now I'm on something new called VidSync. So it's four amazing platforms, depending on what appeals to you based off of what I offer. And each company has its own unique identity. They're all very different. And it's a great way for me to kind of just on a one-on-one level, in an intimate way, just be able to talk to fans, you know, whether it's giving a birthday shout out or a special message or sharing about a past story or sharing something new or maybe giving advice or asking a question. Of course, there's certain things that I won't do, but at the end of the day, most of everything is really positive and light and airy.
Yeah.
And when I say won't do, it's just because every now and then you get a little,
you'll get those weird
in the batch that wants something a little weird. And I'm like, ah, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you got rear request stuff. I'm pretty sure everyone gets those every day.
I threw that in to be funny because, listen, you know, we do live on a place called Earth.
It does happen. It's actually a good thing to have right now, especially since there's no, like, conventions and stuff going on. Like, it's a good way for, like, fans to connect people right now. So,
and what's great is, you know, celebrities or public figures or people in general, business owners, family and friends, you're able to connect so much more. But what's great about these different sites is they specify in a specific way for a specific reason. Each social platform has its own je ne sais quoi. I really don't feel like anything really is in competition with another. I feel like we all use our apps and our sites for our reasons, and they work for us for the reasons they work for us, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think here.
I also got a song out.
Oh, what's the, oh,
my
yeah.
Song. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So, you know, I've been doing music all my life, but this one track was really fun that I had to do with Lenny King Twig and DJ Evil D, Master and Mix the Baby. And it's called Back and Forth. And it's kind of a fun, kind of pop urban upbeat dance song. And it's available on all digital platforms. A music video for it will be coming out soon. So stay patient. And at the same time, you know, you can get it on Google, Amazon, iTunes, TuneCore, the list goes on and on. For me, music has been something I've been doing all my life. A lot of people don't know. I used to be in a girls group called 3Gs. 3Gs had a song on the Princess Diary soundtrack called Second Chance. And then I moved on doing solo music. So I've had a couple songs out, and music has been something that has always been in my heart. I majored doing musical theater as a kid. So for me, singing and dancing has always been in my blood. I call myself a little bit of a triple threat because I think most actors can carry a tune and do have rhythm. I mean, we're supposed to be able to do this. This is my bad joke, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You ever thought about becoming like a musician when you were growing up, like as a career? Did it ever cross your mind?
Oh, yeah. So it made sense when I had the opportunity to have a record deal. I was signed with Hollywood Records, which was Disney. I said yes to it because things like that come once in a lifetime. And no matter what transpires from it, I had a very supportive family. I had a very supportive mother, God rest her soul. Whatever I needed to do to succeed, whatever I felt was best for my frequency. And as long as we knew that it was in the right vibration, she was supportive and allowed me to do it. And she let me experience that. And I will say one thing about the music industry is you could do music and acting and everything, but when you are doing one task, always focus on that one task. When you're acting, focus on your acting. When you're doing your music, focus on your music. Yeah, you can merge and do things, but make sure that you finish what you start is what I'm trying to say. A lot of people try to put their eggs in a lot of baskets. And one thing I've learned is if you start something, make sure you have a goal to finish it. You want it, you manifest it, but make sure to finish it.
That's true. Yeah.
If that makes any sense, you know?
No, it makes perfect sense. You have any more songs you're writing that are coming out soon? Anything?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be working with some new producers in the East Coast. I'm really excited. And so I'm going to be working on some really hot new dance tracks. So you just stay posted. I mean, I recently shout out to the 116th Street Festival in New York City. I was supposed to be there this past month performing live and being a part of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And I was so excited, but unfortunately, that now turned into something virtually, but it turned out amazing because the outpour virtually was just as amazing. And we had a tribute to Tito Puente and anyone you can imagine that's in the Latin community right now was a part of this festival. So shout out to them. So I just did that this past weekend. Right now, you can check me out. If you go to my social media, you can go to elisareyes.com. for updates on me. But you know, I have a YouTube channel called the Elisa Reyes channel and my Instagram right now, I have a link in my bio on an article out on me where I kind of share a little bit about my acting journey at Voyage LA magazine online. And it's a great way for you guys to kind of, you know, get to know me in a little bit more of an intimate way. Cause a lot of people ask me exactly what did I go through being a diverse child growing up on the East Coast and what did I go through and my trials and tribulations? And there I kind of lay it all out in the line.
That's good. Yeah. A lot of people, if they want to know more, they can go to your website or wherever.
Yeah.
Check your story out.
Yeah, of course. But other than that, everything else is good. You know, I've been producing and writing and working on a multitude of projects. So just keep an eye out basically, because I'm working on some really amazing, magical things. And all I have to say is, when those things come out into fruition, which they're like right about to, you guys are going to be so excited. And I can't wait to share the journey and the magic with everyone. A lot of people don't know, but you know, when you work on projects and concepts, they can take a year or two to really get grounded. Things don't happen overnight. And if they do happen overnight, that is a blessing and you need to be in gratitude. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, there's a reason why we're like, stay posted, stay tuned, because you got to make sure that everything is in the right alignment. And when it is, it's Pandora's box will be opened. So I will keep everyone posted about all these amazing adventures that I've been on this past year. And I can't wait for you to see me on new episodes of all that. But we forgot to talk about one important thing, which I just realized. The what? Proud family. The Proud family.
Yes, the Proud family. Yeah, we didn't really touch on that on the other episodes we have.
Yeah.
And Proud family, yeah.
It's new episodes. I'm so excited to come back as La Cienega. And now we're going from Disney to the Disney Plus channel. It's so exciting for me. This is pretty much basically all of the original cast. And all I have to say is, oh, wait till you hear the new storyline, see the new characters. We have some huge celebrities that are hopping on board. And so far, what I've been working on, you guys are not going to want to miss this. It's going to be like nostalgic 1 million on fire. It's so amazing. 1 million on fire.
That's a lot
to be working again with Tommy Davidson and Kyla and Soleil and just the whole gang, everybody. It's just been awesome. You know, the creators and the producers, Ralph and Bruce and Calvin. I mean, I'm shouting at everybody, the writers, the Proud Family Tribe, and now it's called the Proud Family Louder and Prouder.
Yeah.
It's just like we never left when we were doing it, you know, in the mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s, wow.
So mid-2000s.
Wow. Can't believe that's almost 20 years ago. Makes me feel old.
And I still look the same.
You know, you don't age at all.
I don't age.
Well, yeah, Proud Family. You said it's pretty much the same staff and crew from the original too, right?
Yeah, it's similar to All That. So for me, it's like going from All That to Proud Family has really been surreal. And I've been able to like really just kind of, it's another situation where we picked up from where we left off. It's like we never left the recording booth. So you just stay posted with new episodes of the Proud Family.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think I asked you this, for Proud Family, how long does it take to film an episode since it's animated? Does it take about the same amount of time for a TV show, or does it take a bit longer because it's like they're actually...
They go from, you know, they write the scripts first and then they give it to us and then we record it. Then after we record it, then they make the animation. So it's kind of like a 1-2-3 thing. Some people always go, is the animation done before? No, it's done after. Probably it makes sense to do it after to match with our voice. I think that would make sense as an artist.
Sense to do it that way.
I could be wrong. I don't draw animation. Not saying I can't. It sounds
like it makes sense anyway. I'm not an expert on that either. So I just go with your assumption with that.
And
that
then just remember, each character has a certain amount of lines per episode. And they got to go through every actor to record. So they kind of go through things chronologically and make sure that everyone is getting recorded and done the right way. But then again, right now, in this situation, now recording is done remotely from home or from an office. Before we were able to record in an actual studio. So now things with acting jobs are done a little differently. But even so, that's the beauty of voiceover work. And I'm grateful for that, is being able to record remotely.
Yeah, like I said before, you're like the Jill of all trades. You can do everything.
I'm like Mary Poppins. What do you need? I have a microphone.
Alisa Poppins.
Alisa Poppins.
That should be your next movie.
I like that. I like that. That's hilarious.
Anyways, before we close it out, what do you want to say to your fans before we wrap it up?
Well, I just want to say thank you for always taking time to have a little moment with me in my sacred space and for me to update you all about what's been transpiring within my life. Another great way to kind of follow me is I have a newsletter that you can sign up for on my website. And there I give monthly updates about my acting, coaching that I do, updates about articles that I'm in, updates about maybe things that I just wanted to share. I know right now a lot of things are going on in the world, and all I can say is make sure to be the reflection you want to see in others, right? Do only what feels right. And before you do anything, ask yourself, is it the truth? Does it feel right? And does it lay right within my heart? And just stay grounded. Make sure that you find time for you in the midst of the chaos. There's a reason all this is transpiring. We will get through this on the other side of the rainbow. And I know this awakening will really be opening a lot of doors for us for the greater good of mankind, right? So with that being said, I love all of you deeply. And I send so much love and I send so much light. And you too, Ryan, you have always been just so lovely. And I'm glad that we stay in touch. And you know, I always got your back, and I'm sure this will be one of many others that we do. And we'll probably in the next couple months, I'll have more updates.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. You know, hey, you helped me launch this whole thing because you were my first guest.
Woohoo! I'm the first guest. I was the first guest.
And now you've been on 3 times. Pretty cool.
It's amazing. My third time's a charm.
It is.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Oh, same here.
As always, I would like to thank Alisa Reyes for stopping by and talking to us today on the Throwback Podcast. It's always great having Alisa on the show and catching up with her. Since this interview has taken place, the movie Break Even has now been released. So be sure to check it out on video on demand on Amazon Prime, Hoopla, YouTube, Google Play, as well as you can buy it, the DVD, on Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, FYE, and wherever else you buy your DVDs. Now let's check out this letter Jimmy left for us to read. To Ryan and all the listeners, let me tell you something, daddies. I am sorry I couldn't make it to the show again today. I'm still recovering from the chewing this girl had on my nether regions. I haven't been in so much pain like this since the time I got my head stuck inside the toilet trying to find my house key. But don't worry, I'll be on the next episode, daddies. See you later, Jimmy. Alrighty then, I guess so. Jimmy will be here on the next episode, everybody. Anyways, before we wrap this up, I just want to mention that on our next edition of the Throwback Podcast, our special guest will be actress, comedian, and entrepreneur Rhonda Shear. If you're ever a fan of the popular USA Network show, late night show, Up All Night, I think you'll really love this upcoming episode. Anyways, folks, thanks again for listening. As if you like what you hear today, be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio for more exclusive interviews, as well as on Twitter at ThrowPodcast and on Instagram at Throwback_podcast. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at ThrowPodcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.